All right, congratulations and best wishes to Nicholas on his retirement. That comes in from Neil and Helen. Ask Liam McLaughlin what's going on with the Farmers Alliance. He has meetings all over the country but has never had a meeting in Donegal. Are there reasons for this? Greg, I started using the food bin since January. Brilliant. A return to my normal general waste bin. Have nothing to put into it. Nice one. Morning, Greg. My driving license is due and no appointment to renew. Sorry, and got appointment. There's a T missing. Morning, Greg. My driving license is due and got an appointment to renew it, but can't pay cash, card only. Can't remember, but thought it went back to cash as well. That comes in from Rose. Yes, Rose, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've seen that myself. Years ago, we could grow our own food. If planes and boats ceased, we'd have no food. We should grow enough to feed our country. Most of our ice cream these days is Ben and Jerry's, which is an American brand. We need products produced by our own people. I went to a shop. A guy was outside it looking for money. I asked him why he needed money. He said he was hungry. I said I'd get him a sandwich. I got him one, and when I came back, he was gone. Whenever you see someone begging for money, offer them a sandwich, and you'll see what they're after. Another, it's getting cheaper to go abroad on an all-inclusive holiday to Europe for a few weeks than stay in Ireland. It would work out cheaper to put all the refugees in another country too and pay for it that way. Not much. Okay. I was going to look into moving abroad after my pension, but if it's cheaper for me to rent out my house and go, maybe I'll do that now. Okay, well, so that's an option for you. Okay, so on Friday the 8th of March, Irish citizens are being asked to vote on two proposed changes to the Constitution. The first referendum concerns the concept of family in the Constitution. The 39th Amendment to the Constitution will be on a white-coloured ballot paper, and it deals with Article 41.11 and Article 41.31 of the Constitution, both of which relate to the family. You have two separate votes on whether you wish to make the proposed changes to the current text of Article 41 of the Constitution. So the proposal... In this amendment, there is one vote for two proposed changes. The proposal involves the insertion of additional text to articles that I've mentioned. These proposed changes are as follows. The state recognises the family, whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships, as the natural primary and fundamental unit group of society and as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescribable rights, antecedent and superior to all positive law. And also the change to 41.31, the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded and to protect it against attack. The legal effect of a yes vote, we're told, if a majority vote yes, then the Constitution will change. If not, then it won't. Right, OK, we have a number of people joining us to discuss these issues. We'll start with this. I know it's like a lot of people are voting yes, yes, no, no, but we'll start with this particular proposal first. Mary T. Sweeney, candidate for AIN2 in the local elections. Good morning to you. You're no, no, I take it.
Completely no, no, all the way, and encourage our voters, our listeners to really, when in doubt, vote no, but I've been completely vindicated. The only party in the country to encourage everybody to vote no, no, AIN2 has come out and led on this. Mm. And the reason we're asking people to vote no, no, has just been affirmed this morning by FLAC, who are the legal, independent legal advice, and they have now come out calling for a no vote because of the legal concerns they have in relation to the implications of this ridiculously poorly worded referendum, which is costing taxpayers.
What are your principal concerns? And I think the Irish Freedom Party are also advocating a no-no. But what are your concerns in relation to the proposed the referendum concerning the concept of family in the Constitution?
Because, and I can quote from FLAC, which is just hot off the press here, who corroborate exactly what AIN2 are saying, that it is unlikely to require the state to provide improved childcare support for carers or for children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. They have absolutely missed
that's in
the
relation. That's in relation to the care amendment. I was just asking you initially in relation to the concept of family in the Constitution.
Well, families, carers are integral to families. Okay. You know, and where do you stop a carer being part of a family or a family having caring roles to provide for members of the household? Mm-hmm. So it's quite ridiculous. And it's that confusion in the wording. It's unbelievable. The wording is so confusing that even the legal teams, when you have the likes of Senator McDowell, a legal brain, former Attorney General, coming out and giving a very distinct and definite no, no as well. So I have to admire McDowell. He's done a fantastic stint. And again, I would be encouraging everybody to come to Dell's on Thursday night where I'm having a meeting to elaborate on why it should be a no-no vote.
Right, OK. Rachel Coyle, Head of Campaigns and Mobilisation with the National Women's Council. I mean, is it going to be possible for us to have this debate sort of taking these separately? I don't know if you want to address the first referendum concerning the concept of the family in the Constitution, or if you wish to speak of them collectively. I'll leave that up to you, Rachel.
Well, I suppose just to address, firstly, FLAC is not advocating a no-no, if you maybe just look back at that article. But I mean, what I'll focus on, actually, Greg, if you don't mind, is the vote on care. And this is about removing Article 41.2 and inserting new language. We know Article 41.2, it's outdated, the language is limiting, and it doesn't reflect the lives of women. It's time for it to go. It says that only women have duties in the home. It says nothing about the role of men. It says nothing about the other ways that women contribute to and enrich our society. And I just hate to think of children, particularly young women, learning about the Constitution for the first time and seeing this. A woman's place is wherever she wants it to be, and anything less than our Constitution is unacceptable. But deleting it, Greg, was never enough, because caring within families is fundamental to our existence. We all give and receive care at different times of our lives, and this should be recognised, it should be valued, and the state should support it. I think in Donegal in particular, we have quite a high number of carers, full-time carers. I think the statistic from the census last year was 10,693, which is slightly above the national average. And these are people that contribute a huge amount to our society. And the new wording recognises this. It's gender neutral, which is really important, because nearly 40% of carers are men. And while we know that there's still a lot of work to do to even the playing field when it comes to caring, to looking after children, housework, we know that women absolutely still do the majority of this. But the current wording in our Constitution, 41.2, it makes it seem like that's all we do or should do, and that there's no role for men in this. So the new wording at least goes some way. It's a really important step in the right direction.
Dr.
And I just clarify they're just, because this is just, she may not be aware of it, respectfully, this is just straight off the press this morning, and FLAC have issued a new statement this morning, the Independent Human Rights and Equality Organisation, which offers free legal advice, has urged a no vote in the forthcoming referendum on the care amendment to the Constitution. And there's quite graphic details given about how it's lacking and how it's failing all the way through. And one of the
can
most
I just
important
just to be clear, just
can
to
I
be,
just, can yeah, I know,
but
really
yeah, it's just really important that we're having this fully based on FLAC, on the reality. A legal analysis carried out by the Free Legal Advice Centres concerning next month's referendum proposals has led to it supporting the proposed family amendment to the Constitution, but not, as it describes, the ineffective and implicitly sexist amendment on carers. So they are supporting a yes on the concept of family in the Constitution, but they're not supporting. It's just really, it's going to be a really confusing debate just if we're debating FLAC's stance on it. But very clearly, they're saying that it's a yes to the first referendum, if we can just call it that, and a no to the second. You can go over that, and I'll come back to you in a moment if you want to, Mary T. Sweeney. Dr. Joe Kelly, I mean, you heard there from Rachel. I also was one of those that was a male carer, just to put my cards on the table, that really wasn't necessarily recognised in the Constitution, because the realities of life that it's not always a woman that can do it, let alone whether it's by choice or not. Do you want to focus on the carers element of this, Joe, and tell us why you're advocating a no?
Well, first of all, good morning to yourself and to your listeners and to the panel. And it's wonderful that democracy is alive, that we're having a discussion like this, and we're given the freedom to articulate our views. And that's most important in all of this today, that this is a constitutional amendment. And whether we're for it or whether against it, the power lies with the people, not the politicians. And it's important, first and foremost, to say that people should vote and exercise their democratic right. The most important political role in this country is the role of citizen. And every person as a citizen should uphold that role by going out and voting, whether it's a yes or no. I'll be advocating a no, no. And let me explain with regards to the carers. I mean, we all have experience of carers, and whether it's directly been provided for or not by ourselves as family members. I mean, I had to help to care for my father in his autumn of his life, so to speak. You've obviously had a role as a carer, as you said there, Greg, but it does not necessarily give, and it's very clear in this, this amendment gives no new rights to the carer or to the person being cared. That's a fundamental here, and it's a myth to try to project it that they will get rights. What they say is that they will strive. Now, the same government is striving to sort out the medical crisis in this country. The same government is trying to sort out many of other issues, and the word strive is not good enough. And so just to make it very clear, this blue book is a constitution. It's not a budget. And the government have it within their remit every year, annually at budget time, to look after the carers and those needing care. And they can do that directly through the budget. And in fairness, Pascal Donoghue and other ministers have acknowledged that. Mm-hmm. This is not a budget book. This is a constitution.
But are you not, Joe, in your statements, though, are you not saying really that you don't have, it's not really about the changes to the constitution, it's about the faith you might have in this government or the next government or any government actually to do the right thing by the constitution? And is that really what, is that, should we really be thinking that far ahead in voting for change?
Absolutely, because you've hit the nail on the head. The very point of, for example, in the other referenda is the reference durable relationship. And they've said, the government have said, so what does durable relation mean when you're asking? So I would leave that to the courts to decide. So we're not even deciding what the term durable relationship means. It's left to the courts. And it's not as if the judges sit down together and a big thinking and decide what that means. Mm. It comes down to adversarial cases. Maybe one case is brought to the High Court, and then it's on that the law is based. So it's not as if the judges, so we're giving away power.
But is that, okay, but some might say that, so you have faith in the Constitution, but then not the legal system. I'm going to go back to Rachel, but I just want to...
Sorry a minute, Greg. No, yep. No, that's not what I said. The Constitution under Article 5, it lays out the order of the Constitution. The Constitution, if the language of it is that it comes, power comes from God and then the people.
Okay.
And from the people then down to the legislator. So the people are the primary people that own the Constitution, not the legislator, mm-hmm. not the child. Okay. Not the Shannon. So the people.
Understood. I want to give everyone a fair crack of the whip. I'm going to bring Karen in a second, but Rachel, you just wanted to come back on something there more immediately.
Yeah, I just want to come back about, you know, what Joe was saying about how, like, not conferring any new rights. But at the moment in the Constitution, there is no recognition of care. And the new wording, it's not going to solve everything overnight, but it is a step in the right direction. It's a really important one because our Constitution, it isn't just a legal document. It's our guiding document. And it does give guidance to our legislators. It's a reflection of our values. And I don't know anybody who would say that the current wording in Article 41.2, which, Greg, as you say, you know, is commonly referred to as the woman's place in the home. I don't know anyone that would say that reflects modern Ireland or our values. Mm-hmm. Woman's place is where she wants it to be, and buying care is really important. And of course, it's not going to change things overnight. And we know that the state's record on care has left a lot to be desired. You know, carers and those of us who advocate for stronger and better paid care and parental supports, we know the struggle. But we have an opportunity now to have this national conversation, this national platform to highlight and amplify these challenges. It's a once in a generation opportunity, Joe. This referendum hasn't come out of nowhere either.
One moment, Joe. Yeah, and I'll come back to you, Rachel, but Karen has been incredibly patient and I know listening with interest as well. Karen Kiernan is Chief Executive of One Family. Your views are on the caring element of this vote. You also believe it, do you, Karen, to be outdated sexist language?
We do, but I suppose I primarily want to speak to the family amendment, actually. One Family was set up as Cherish back in 1972. Many of your older listeners will remember they had a very big meeting at Glencairn Kill in the early 70s, actually. And this was at a time when women who became pregnant and they weren't married were really forced, more or less, to have their children taken for adoption, to leave the country or to be forced to marry. And some very brave women decided that they were going to keep and raise their own children. And then they, you know, started to get in touch through newspaper ads, and there were hundreds and thousands of people from all over the country in great difficulty, mostly because of the state and also because of the church and also because of families. And what was done to those women, the fathers of their children, the children themselves, we know we are now making restitution to those people. And for us in One Family, we've been fighting for this. And our founders, who are now women in their 80s, those of them who are still alive, have been fighting for this for 50 years. This has been coming a very long time. And what they want is recognition for their families in the Constitution, because what was done to many, many people could not have happened. It is completely out of step with families today. Over 43% of babies being born today are being born to parents who aren't married to each other. So they may get married, maybe they won't. Maybe they don't want to, maybe they can't, but it's out of step. And the job of the Constitution is to listen to the voices of the citizens, to respect that and to reflect their realities. So it is really, really important that the Family Amendment, which is about inclusivity, equality, it's building on other progressive referendums to include and see and recognise people. So I'm thinking of Mary from Clare. She spoke at our launch and she's 83, and she said, I really want my state that I love to recognize me and my son, who's in his 50s, you know, before she dies. There are people up and down the country.
Did we not have, on the current constitution, did we not have a ruling in the courts on the old wording of the constitution that would recognize that lady's son that you talk of?
Do you mean the O'Mara case?
Yes.
No, unfortunately not, because that has to do with minor children. So that's to do with the fact that John O'Mara and his late partner had children who were underage, and the Department of Social Protection decided not to recognise them as someone who was eligible for a widower's payment. So no, that is not resolved. And in fact, the O'Mara case, and he was dreadfully brave to bring that case, and he had to do it with Flack support, actually, because it is a very progressive step. But it is not unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the judges, I was there in the court on the day, said that their family would not be recognised under the current wording. So no, that's still an opportunity to remedy that and to bring all of these families into the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And they may never need to apply their constitutional recognition on a practical basis by going to court. But what it does mean is symbolically, they feel part of something that up till now they have been excluded from.
Mary T. Sweeney, just responding there directly, if you don't mind, to Karen's argument in relation to the family. Do you see her argument? Does it sway to you in any way, shape or form?
I think the listener needs to remember that the government have directed that all of the government organisations, the NGOs, are not allowed to have their own voice in this. They must vote.
That is not correct. That cannot be allowed to be said. That is not correct.
Yes, that's correct.
But Mary T.
The reality is that Catherine Martin...
Is it not important, Mary T., just be, and I want you to speak freely, right?
That's potentially illegal to say that. That is absolutely not correct. Be very careful what's being said here.
Is it not important that we talk... Well, you're not... Because I have to stand over it as well, Mary T. So, I just want to distance myself from you suggesting that NGOs are being compelled by government to make decisions. You can say that on Facebook or X or whatever, but just not here, if
I'm
that's
only
okay.
What I read from,
but that's
from
perfectly
media,
fine, but also there are consequences to that. Now, the problem is, Mary T., I have you on the show regularly and I respect everything you have to say, but it's going to come across as, in all our interactions so far, that I've been argumentative with you, and I don't want that to be the case. So rather than turning this into a referendum on government, unless you want to, can you talk to the substantive comments that we've heard from the likes of Rachel or Karen, or make your own in your own time, please, Mary T?
I would like to talk to the people that are really neglected and missed the golden opportunity that this government had. For you people at home listening who are carers, and many of you are getting no reimbursement from government in the role you provide, the very, very valuable role you provide, looking after either an elderly parent, a son or a daughter, or a neighbour. It can be no family member, it can be a neighbour, that you're just doing a good Samaritan turn and you're looking after the reality. And the reality is that there are 15,000, between 350,000 and 500,000 carers across Ireland, and we have just under 18,000 employed in the private sector in Donegal as home care workers. and over 5,000 of those employed by the HSE. And I stood on the streets with those carers that are employed. They were not allowed funding to even travel between houses, which could be 30, 40, 50 minutes in traffic jams in Letterkenny. The families that are doing it unfunded, and families that are excluded because their husband or their wife, who had a pension, pushes them over the threshold to allow them to claim the 240 or 50 pounds per week.
But what in the context of the referendum, though, what does, and in fairness, I think travel now is to be included, and carers are going to be given the living wages, as far as I'm aware. But that doesn't talk to the rest of the stuff you mentioned. In the context of this referendum, though, why does that awful situation of so many carers that you describe lead one to vote no?
Because over the reality, the true reality for the people listening on the radio now is that over 80% of the care provided is by mothers. And this is about a deletion of the word mother from the referendum. And Rodrigo Gorman is quoted live on video saying that, actually, as the junior minister was the first that I read, where he said, Minister Neil...
Richmond.
Neil Richmond.
Yeah. Well, he actually said that the role of this was to remove the gender, to make it gender neutral. Rodrigo Gorman said the whole role of this, the emphasis of this referendum change, was to make it gender neutral. And that's tragic for women. And that's tragic for the women that should be identified and respected in their own right as women. And that's you people standing at home listening. And okay, the sad reality, can may I finish, please? And the sad reality further extends to the fact that we are asking women to delete the role and recognition and respect for women and make it gender neutral, which I think is a travesty and is totally, totally, it's a blatant disregard for the role that women play in society, the role of a woman that differs from the role of the father or the brother. And the reality is we must respect everybody individually.
Okay. Now, Rachel...
should amend the amend and include father, include brother, but not to delete the word woman.
Okay. Now, Rachel, I think, has to leave us shortly. So I just want to give you an opportunity, Rachel, if you don't mind, to respond to that. And Joe, I'm going to come to you and, of course, back to Karen.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot to kind of unpack there. Keeping Article 41.2 will do nothing to address the issues that you raise around carers. In actual fact, voting no means keeping the status quo, because at least this is a step in the right direction to recognise the care that goes on within families. And the fact that we're putting it in the Constitution means, you know, as Joe says, it's not a budget. It means it mandates not just this government, but every government going forward to support care. In terms of the comments that you make around removing the word mother or women, we're removing the limits that have been put on women and mothers in this referendum. That's why we're advocating yes. Women do, you know, the word woman, if you want to get technical, it does feature in other articles in the Constitution. But in Article 41.2, it's the only place where we're not placed on equal footing with men, because it says that, you know, working outside of the home is somehow a neglect of our duties. And yet no supports were actually provided to women to stay at home. It's never led to any supports. Every case that was ever brought before the Supreme Court has failed. And we've had 87 years of this, and it's never led to a single progressive support. And just as well to comment, like, this referendum hasn't come out of nowhere. And it's not just the National Women's Council that are advocating for this. Women and carers have advocated for decades about this. And Joe, you're a historian. You'll know women protested this wording in 1937 because it doesn't reflect the reality of women's lives. You know, we've had every democratic process. We've had a citizens' assembly that came to the position that Article 41.2 is sexist and outdated and has to go. And as we say, like, these things, in terms of the rights of carers, these things are not going to be resolved overnight, but it is a step in the right direction. It gives us leverage to say that Ireland values care, and not just in word. we're going to use this to demand real action, real investment in care supports. Okay. And we would argue, sorry, Greg, but we'd argue that families can't meet care needs in isolation. And the state, there is a clear role for the state to support this. We obviously have advocated for years around this. So for us, voting yes, it gives a stronger mandate to this. Voting yes, it gets rid of outdated and sexist language and finally enshrines the value of care.
Okay, Rachel, thank you very much indeed. You can exit as you have to, or if you want to hear Joe's response to you, it's completely in your gift. Dr. Joe Kelly, I suppose, responding there to Rachel Coyle, who's the head of campaigns and mobilisation with the National Women's Council.
First of all, I think there's misinformation here from the start, and I've been silent and given everybody a chance to speak. And it needs to be very clear, and the women and men of Donegal will get this very simply. Susan Denham, who was the Chief Justice of Ireland, the highest lawmaker in the land, made it very clear that Article 41.2 does not assign a domestic role to a mother. But what the Constitution does is that it elevates her place within Irish society, saying that the common good cannot be achieved without her good. This is not, and has been misused phrase by RTE, by ministers, and by you, Rachel. It does not, and I'm asking you to show me. I have the Constitution. If you can tell me the page and the number, and I'll read it out. It does not say in this Constitution, and it's misrepresentation, that a woman's place is in the home. What it does say is that a woman, a mother, gives a unique contribution to our society without which the common good cannot be
achieved. And is that needed? Is that needed in the Constitution, Joe?
Let me finish. Every human being has to come into this world through a mother. We are born through our mothers, and our mothers give us a unique contribution to our society. That is what our Constitution says. And if a mother should choose to stay at home, then that she shouldn't be forced out due to economic necessity. And that's what it says. To say this is archaic, to say this is not progressive, is not true. It doesn't say that. And the Chief Justice, I can't go any higher than the Chief Justice of the land, the highest lawyer, solicitor, judge in the land that states that. That's the first thing to say.
Can I ask a question, Joe, just in relation before you get on to the same situation? Do we have a situation now in this country whereby there are women who have poor or very little pensions that couldn't work because of how things were being interpreted and how their role was seen, that effectively they became, you know, go on out, Joe.
You're hitting the nail on the head. And there's things, Rachel, I would agree with and with Karen. And I don't think that you achieve a right by taking away somebody else's right. You don't enhance the Constitution by reducing somebody within the Constitution. By all means, add in the carers, but you don't have to reduce what's already there.
Okay.
By all means, add in the new understandings that we require. But that does not mean that we have to reduce family, reduce women, and reduce mothers to a non-identity. And this is really what the Constitution is about. It's about trying to make our mothers, our women, and the contribution they make to society, you're just a non-person, a non-identity.
All right.
And I think that's very, very unfair. You don't get rights by taking away somebody else's
Rachel
rights.
And Karen, both shaking heads, and I want to bring Mary T back in again. Rachel, quick response to you.
Yeah, just before I go, like, Joe, if you could point to one progressive support for women from that article, I would, you know, nearly agree with you. But it didn't. Sorry, it has never led to support. And even...
That's not true. That is not true. And I'll
name the support then, please, because no...
I'll name one. My old good friend, former MEP of mine, Cathy Sinnott, took the Minister for Justice to the High Court, Minister for Education to the High Court, based on that article, the Sinnott case, and she won her case, and the judgment had relied on that article.
I beg your pardon, like, in terms of the protection, sorry, I'm really unclear there. Like, what you're saying there is by taking women out of the Constitution, as if women were ever protected by it.
Me answer it. You've asked me a question, you've not let me answer it. There are numerous examples in law, and you can have solicitors phone in and barristers phone in, where that article was used to back up and won cases for mothers in the home with special needs, with various different things. Absolutely, I agree with you, Rachel. It hasn't been maybe used enough, and the government financially haven't coughed up enough. I agree with you on that. I agree with you that they haven't made the use of their budgets every year to pay carers and to look after those they care.
But Joe, sorry, like, just, I mean, sorry, but in terms of the language that is there, I'm sorry, you can't argue in any way that it is reflective of the reality and the diversity.
I don't think it has had
a limiting role. And when you think about, like, nobody could argue that the Irish state has treated women, like you say, with this elevated respect and support. That never happened.
On that particular point, I think the listener's going to have to make up their own mind, because I can't see and Joe coming to an agreement on that. Thank you very much indeed. And as I say, I want everyone to feel they're getting an equal platform here. So I'm going to come back to Mary T after I get a word, please, if possible, on those comments from Karen Kernan, Chief Executive of One Family.
Yeah, thanks. I think we need to go back to think about real people. So, you know, One Family, we have people in and out of our building and our services every day. We have done for 52 years, and we know what's really important to people. And really, a lot of people parenting on their own and separating are worried about their housing. They're worried about the cost of living crisis. But it actually means a huge amount, you know. So we've had lone parents able to buy their own home, get a mortgage, and they've had to sign a disclaimer for the Family Home Protection Act. We have people who, I'm thinking of one woman here from Finglas. She has two children who are constitutional children and two children that are not constitutional children. Her children and families are not seen as equal by the state. And really, this is about enhancing family. It's about sharing the protection and recognition of family. It's not taking anything away from marriage. It's bringing other people in. And we all know what families look like and what families do. They love, they support, they care, they worry. That is the work of families.
Could that have been achieved, though, with a different wording, Karen? In other words, that you know that there wasn't what some might perceive as a reduction in the important role a mother and a woman plays, but at the same time recognising that, but also showing recognition and change of the constitution that it includes the people that you talk of. Because it seems to be that people feel that the role of woman or women is being diluted in our constitution, not that people are against the level of inclusion that you talk of.
Well, I'm speaking about the Family Amendment, which is the 39th Amendment. So on a separate ballot form, there is that opportunity to remove the very sexist, archaic language about women's duties. And just to say that only ever applied to married women. It didn't apply to single parents. It didn't apply to single mothers. They weren't even imagined when the state was formed, and it did nothing to protect them when they were made be available for work and training by the government. So let's be clear about who's included. Just to also say the Susan Denham quote, there's two paragraphs and only one paragraph is being quoted, and they're slightly at odds with each other. And that was a minority view. It did not ultimately help. So we will have lawyers, as Joe has said, with different views. But this is about real people. So let's support them. There are discriminations between married and unmarried families. There are discrimination between lone parent and two parent families in our social welfare, tax codes, housing. And yet children live in all these families. Karen, so we need to protect and support all of them. And this is a really good start, not the end point, but a start to doing that.
Mary T, would you not like to see the constitution more inclusive and to take account of the various groups and real life situations that Karen refers to there?
With real language and clear and articulate language, which is missing from this current document, and that is the reality of it. We have spent 200 million on this constitution. That 200 million would have been better served building homes for 150 families across Donegal. It would have been far better served to serve those mothers and the fathers and the children of whatever family combination that they provide. That's the reality of how much this referendum has missed. That is an enormous amount of money in any term. And the reality is that the lack of wording, the fact that the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, Roderick O'Gorman and Pascal O'Donoghue have thrown it back and said that the word durable will be interpreted by the courts, which is putting another legal onus on all financial limitations on people that maybe don't have the finances to go to court. That why was that clarity not explicit from the very beginning so that all the people at home listening could understand it? We have the likes of, as I say, the eminent former Attorney General, Senator McDowell. He's tearing this apart. His video is up there to see. And the reality is there's multiple other...
But he is one solicitor.
The chair of the Electoral Commission herself, a Supreme Court Judge, Mary Baker, clarified that the wording in the Constitution does not say a woman's place is in the home. And that has been slandered and thrown around flippantly by so many of these women's organisations. And the sad thing for me as a woman is that I think it's very sad that women are so quick to throw out the word woman from anything instead of adding an appending and an appendment to it to say with the other reality of what other's father or brother or uncle. So
your view obviously then is it that women are more important than men, Mary? Like, do you believe women are more important than men?
The O'Mara case stated clearly that the cohabiting couples are recommended and recognised he was able to get his widower's pension. Rightly so, of course he was. Mm-hmm. But we cannot throw out gender. It is ridiculous to throw out gender. And it was Roderick O'Gorman that said that he wanted to make this gender neutral. And the sad reflection is they're destroying the concept of family and home. They're removing the word home if this goes ahead. Mm-hmm. And we need the home. We need a referendum on providing homes for families around this country with 13,000 homeless people and multiple people in Donegal desperate to have that first home.
Now,
and 200 million squandered.
Okay. And Joe, I'm going to let you back in a moment. But Karen, I think wanted to come back just directly onto something that Mary T mentioned there. Karen.
Yeah. Both of these amendments are really about including more people. They're about including the men and dads who care, as well as the mums and the women. So this is about including them. It's around including care in the family, the broader family. It doesn't mention in the home, because it's including that we have grannies and granddads and aunts and uncles who also provide care. And it's really about, you know, people who end up going to the Supreme Court are in very vulnerable situations. So they're very extreme cases. So for most people, this is symbolic. It's around saying we see and recognise you and your family. And a no vote or staying at home would be a complete rejection and would be incredibly hurtful to many people.
Karen, the word woman, mother, isn't used in the Constitution.
It's in other parts of the
elsewhere.
Constitution.
But
this is a red herring. What it's doing is bringing in everyone. It's not even that it's gender neutral. It's just
inclusive, okay, but a lot of people don't like the fact that even if this is the only one instance of mother being, like, what I'm getting is a lot of people might go yes if there was additional language rather than what's being perceived as the removal of mother. So in other words,
the
language
is around for the very, very first time ever, a recognition of care in family. That's what's going in, and that is the first time the work and labour of care and families ever been recognised. And instead of taking something away, it's actually including all the men and dads like yourselves who also provide care within the family. So it's a progressive and it's an inclusive thing. It's not taking anything away. Women are mentioned in other places, but they're mentioned on equal status and standing in other places in the Constitution. So this is nothing to be afraid of. This is around embracing progress and providing a platform to build for future governments, which could be Mary T and her party, to provide for carers.
I just wonder if this is getting caught up in the progress debate, and if this would have had 10 years ago, it might be different. Joe, you've been waiting patiently there.
Look, I mean, there's things that have been said there by Karen that I can't disagree with, but you don't include people by excluding people. You don't enhance something by unenhancing it. And symbolic as it may be, you're trying to make something symbolic by reducing the understanding of family, by reducing the understanding of motherhood, reducing the role of women. Can we not enhance what's already there and build on it? And as you say, include other types of families. Of course, we live in a modern Ireland and a changing Ireland. Absolutely. And why is there not room for them? But that doesn't mean to say that you have to take away what's already there, build on what's there and make it better. But there are legal instruments already there. And you know this very well, under the statutes enacted in 2010 to cohabiting couples, etc., various rights. And the state have not. And this is where the problem is. And Karen, I think you can accept it this much. We do not know what the definition of durable relationship means. So you're going to reduce and make no differentiation between a marriage and a durable relationship. So automatically, and the Attorney General, former Attorney General Michael McDowell, has pointed this out. This is going to have massive tax implications, inheritance, farms, businesses, pensions.
We do not
okay, just on that point, and I'll bring Mary T back in, but I just want... But you made just a really, really big... You can remake that in a second.
Build on what's there. Build on what's there. Don't reduce what's there.
Okay.
And that's what we're being asked to do.
I get you, but I don't want to miss... You made a number of things that might actually happen, so that's why I wanted just Karen to have her word on that. He's confusing. What are you saying, Karen?
I think you're confusing the change, the removal of the sexist language of woman from the 40th Amendment, and you're confusing that with the enhancement of family in the 39th. But just to say that the Electoral Commission, which is, of course, the neutral body, is saying that the family is founded on other durable relationships means a family based on different types of committed and continuing relationships other than marriage. And what that means is that children and their parents, unmarried families, will be included for the very first time. It will mean that grannies, granddads, aunts and uncles who are providing kinship care when the parents of the children cannot help, they will be included. And it means that long-term cohabiting couples will also be seen and recognised. There is a very deliberate reason all of those have not been listed. It's because it would then exclude somebody. So Conor O'Mahony, who is academic, special rapporteur for child protection, says the entire purpose of the amendment is to move away from a rigid definition, which is what we've got now, towards a more flexible approach that accounts for the fact that families come in all shapes and sizes. Now, we know who these families are. We are these families. 43% of children today being born to families not recognised in the Constitution. That's not okay.
But Mary T, maybe because at the moment 43% of children are what was the phrase you used, born not to married families?
Born to parents, not married to each other.
But you know, maybe that's the direction that we don't want necessarily, some people don't want to go, that we should try and actually return maybe more to a situation where more children are born within the families, and changing the constitution maybe makes that an irreversible trend. Is that a concern you have, Mary T, just finally?
I have a concern that we won't know what families are. And also, the elephant in the room is the people in society that are concerned about what is the family reunification and how far the remit of that will go in relation to the migrants coming in at this moment, and in relation to the expansion of families. At the moment, a family is protected by our constitution extremely well, as in being a couple, and that's whether they're same sex or whether they're heterosexual, the family unit, the guidelines, the laws are there to protect them. When this blows up without the legal definition, without clarity, without any fences to tell us exactly what it means, we have no concept of the idea of polygamous relationships where you can have four wives.
Yeah, but that's illegal in this. Polygamy is illegal in this country, though, regardless of what changes.
No, but that is a matter for the courts, the same as
what's illegal.
The definition of durable is.
Yeah, but polygamy is illegal.
May I clarify?
Okay,
may
that's
I
fine. Clarify? Yeah, all right.
The word durable is not clarified in law, in writing, that is acknowledged in this referendum.
But polygamy in and of itself is illegal.
I beg your pardon. The polygamy is illegal only because at the moment, but there's nothing to stop it being challenged because of this definition in law in Ireland as we go forward.
But could you not already challenge the constitution to say that your constitution doesn't recognise my cultural right to have multiple wives? I mean, could that not already be, I don't know how that would, but presumably if someone wished to challenge the constitution, Karen, they could already do so if that were the will, no?
Well, we have to all follow the legislation, and there's legislation there for tax and social welfare. There's legislation around who a family is. And the European Court on Human Rights has been making judgments and similar to this since the 1970s. There's nothing radical going to happen. This is actually about real people. This is about us, our friends, our neighbours, our relatives who are currently excluded symbolically and otherwise from our constitution, and saying, you know what, we treated you terribly for many years because you weren't married. We ignored people, we treated them badly, and now is our opportunity to bring them in. And people have voted with their feet.
Okay.
You know, people are deciding.
We just have to
be married.
Can I just get in there briefly just to mention one thing that has been avoided in all of this debate, and that is the online relationships. I see a growing number of programmes dealing with women particularly, and men, engaging in online, what could be contentiously called durable relationships. And I see often the woman or possibly the men being fleeced online by these what could now become durable relationships. Right. And it just alarms me of the vulnerability of our fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters forming these online relationships that can, will they have inheritance rights?
This is about real people.
Yeah, but
this
is about real inheritance. I think Karen is talking about this dealing with people who are existent and real situations now, rather than I think someone might say, what about a re? I don't know. It's up to.
There's no connection to this amendment. That's just a red herring. It's
I'm going to have to give you 30 seconds.
This is about real people. Let's respect the families that are out there that are currently excluded instead of bringing up red herrings about them.
Red herring is the actual wording of this referendum, Karen, unfortunately.
Okay, I have to wrap this up.
They're constitutional experts, the Attorney General. The Attorney General said... Durable is a more appropriate term to capture relationships between a child and their parent rather than committed, because committed can imply only the horizontal or the adult relationships. It was very deliberately chosen, and it is to capture the relationships between children and parents.
I just want to give Joe a minute.
It's a very positive thing.
Just to make sure everyone had an equal amount of time, though it is 2-1, and Karen, fair play to you, I do understand. But listen, it's still balanced out, and we're all adults, and it's a constructive conversation. But Joe, just briefly wrap up from your perspective.
I think very quickly, Karen has hit the nail on the head. She wants to reduce the constitution on the understanding of family. And I'm not confusing the amendment, the 39th and the 40th amendment, Karen, by no means. But my point is, you don't make a good law by making another one bad. You don't have to improve the constitution by making it poorer somewhere else. You can add into the constitution. And a loose definition is not serving anybody. And what I can understand is, you've given us a definition of what durable relationship is, yet nobody, no minister in the government has been able to provide this. I mean, it's amazing how you can say that with absolute confidence when none of us can say that, because it hasn't even saying what a durable relationship is.
Okay.
I think ludicrous. And Mary, it is a red herring, because you cannot define what a durable relationship is, because you're not a High Court judge. I think you're taking roles and honours onto yourself with your powers that you don't have. That's the first thing. The second thing, which I think is very important to say about this, Michael McDowell asked for the minutes and the meetings of the government on this discussion to be made available. And he was told no, that he wasn't allowed to see why the terminologies that we're debating today was
not. I'm going to have to give Karen just a quick response to that before I go.
One minute.
Yeah, but we don't have the time, Joe.
We couldn't have it because the people don't need to know. The people don't need to know. So the government don't like us and they think we're stupid. This is a
we'll get it in 30 years, I suppose. Karen, quickly, please. Sorry.
Yeah, so just two things. I'm not a politician and I'm not an apologist for the government in any way. My understanding is that couldn't be released because it might influence the referendum. So that's democracy. So
it
will influence
speech.
Sorry, I'm just going to finish.
Just one moment, Karen's just going to finish this point on
the other. The other point is the Taoiseach, I'm assuming he's got very good advice. He's saying that a yes to the family and care amendments will bring 1 million people into the constitution, that it will bring in unmarried parents and children. It will include unmarried couples. It will include kinship and family carers. And that is a positive thing. So that is what I'm listening to, because the courts are for the future, absolutely.
Okay.
And it'll only be a very few vulnerable people. But the politicians are saying, this is what we need. Yeah. This is what we're going to do.
Mary T,
believe them or not believe
thanks,
them.
Thanks, Karen, of course. And that's the public's view. You've an event coming up, Mary T. Do you want to quickly mention that before you finish?
Thank you very much, Greg. And listeners, if you're available and you want further debate, come along on Thursday evening at 7:30 to Dillon's Hotel. And I'll explain in detail why I feel it's so important to vote no.
Right, okay. Thank you very much, all of you.